A good season of prayer. Amen. Thank you, Brother David, for leading us, and thank you for those of you who counted it important enough to come out to prayer meeting tonight to pray and meet with God. Revelation chapter number 20, if you would take your Bible and turn there, the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation, as we continue our study through the book of the Revelation, Revelation chapter number 20. As Brother David was leading us in prayer, my heart was just rejoicing. God is so good. God is just good to us, brethren. And I just praise the Lord for his goodness. Tonight I'm going to do a study, and you're going to have to listen closely, turn to some scripture. I don't know that I'll do any preaching tonight. I don't know. I want to talk to you about the millennial kingdom. Don't hear a whole lot of preaching about the millennial kingdom anymore. There was a time when this kingdom was preached on quite often in years of yesterday. It's not mentioned much anymore. A lot of people have quit believing that there's even going to be a millennial kingdom. They try to spiritualize it. Some people are called amillennialists. They do not even believe there will be a millennial kingdom. But I know what the Word of God teaches, and I'm going to stick with the book. And the Word of God says there is going to be a thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ right here upon this earth. What do you know about it? Would you take a minute? My time is a little limited tonight, or I'd give you two. Take a minute and just in your mind say, this is what I know about the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. Go. What do you know? Satan will be bound. Yes. We that are faithful will rule and reign with him in different capacities. Yes. What else? Who else? Yes, Brother Philip. That's right. The Lord Jesus will sit on the throne of David and rule and reign with a rod of iron. Someone else? Yes, Sister Tammy. Yes. Yeah, there'll be peace. There'll be no war. There'll be peace. And the scripture says they'll not learn war anymore. There'll be no military exercises. In the book of Isaiah, if time permits, we'll look at that. And of course, the lion will lay with the lamb. There'll be a reversing of the curse, so to speak, a lifting or something to do with the animal kingdom. With the curse, will revert back as it was in the days of Adam. Don't fully understand it, but I know the scripture teaches it in the book of Isaiah. We'll look at that if the Lord allows to. What's something else that you know about? That's very good there. Something else, a little deeper, about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Raise your hand and tell me. Life will be extended. Something's going to happen. Pastor BJ and our Sunday school has been talking about the way the world was then before the flood and the way it is now. One day it's going to be different again. I think it'll go back as it was in the days before the flood, when man's life will find longevity. A child will be considered a child even at 100 years old. Men will live out their age, the scripture teaches, and we'll look at that if time permits. That also is in the book of Isaiah. Something else. Here, this is one of my favorites. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. Everybody will go to worship. The Bible says that. Everybody will go to worship. Once a year, they'll go to Jerusalem to worship. Maybe we'll sing some of those psalms that we talked about Sunday morning, those psalms of degrees. those psalms as we ascend on the city of Jerusalem to worship. Maybe we'll sing some of those psalms. Won't that be something? It's real, brethren. This is not fairy tale. This is something that's going to happen in the millennial kingdom. There's going to be worship. Did you know that people, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let me ask, is there anyone else? I'm ready to get into this. But for someone else, I want you to, if you know something about the millennial kingdom, just raise your hand. Say, this is what I know about the millennial kingdom. I thought about this. Jesus will be there. And if there was nothing else going on, that'd be enough. I mean that when I say it, but can I tell you there's plenty more going on? As a matter of fact, in the book of Isaiah 65, and again in chapter number 66, it says that it's going to be so good in the millennial kingdom that it's going to cause us to forget this life. The former things will be passed away. We won't even have, listen, you think, well, you know, what are we going to do in heaven? Well, first of all, we've got to go through 1,000 years of the millennial kingdom. We've got 1,000 years to rule and reign, rejoice, brethren. Worship God. 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Isn't that something? Let's look at just a few things, all right? So in Revelation 20, and again, I'm not going to get it all tonight, but I do want to talk about the millennial kingdom. You're in Revelation chapter 20. If you'll go back just in chapter 19, in verses 19 through 21, not going to go through it, but in this you'll see where I believe all of the unrighteous are going to be wiped out in the battle of Armageddon. And the beast and the false prophet, in verse number 20, look at it, both of them, in the latter part of verse 20 of chapter 19, are going to be cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. These will be the first two occupants of the lake of fire. Now, all those that have died before, unsaved or unrighteous, will go to hell. But we read in chapter 20, that in verse number 14, that death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Okay, so people will be released from that holding place of hell, where I believe the rich man was speaking from in Luke 16. They're going to be released from there to stand before God, and we'll see this in chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, at the great white throne judgment. And the books are going to be opened. It's the book of works, and then another book is open, which is the book of life, and that'll be a judgment against them that their name is not written in there. And they will be judged out of the things that were written in the books according to the works. The Word of God teaches this in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And so I don't believe that any unrighteous will transfer into the millennial kingdom. Now we know from Matthew 25, and if you want to turn there, you can. In Matthew 25, we know in verses 31 through 34 that Jesus said when he comes back to rule, and this is in verses 31 through 34 of Matthew 25, when he comes back to rule in his kingdom, in his glory, that he's going to divide the nations, all right? He's going to have the sheep nations on the right side and the goat nations on the left side. Now, this is very interesting to me, okay? It didn't say people. See, this is not about people. This is about nations. There's going to be friends of Israel. I thought it very appropriate to preach a little bit about friends of Israel on a night like tonight. I'd had this message prepared for weeks as I prepared for the preaching through the book of the Revelation, and here we are, and this has happened over in Israel. And I'm talking to you tonight out of Matthew 25 about friends of Israel that will say, wherein have we fed thee? Wherein did we clothe thee? Wherein did we give you water? As much as you've done it to the least of one of these little ones. Jesus said, you've done it to me. And he said, he's going to say unto them, you enter into my kingdom. And those goats that are on the left hand, he's going to say, depart from me. And they're going to be punished in everlasting punishment. You can read that in Matthew 25. If you turn there to see that, in particular, you read verses 31 through 34, and you'll see what I say. So those nations, all right, no goat nation is going to be permitted into the kingdom. And so this is something you need to know about the millennial reign of Christ, okay? I want you to think with this with me just for a moment. In Revelation chapter 20, look, if you would, in verse number 1 through 3. I'm not going to read it all for sake of time, but it talks about that this angel is going to come and it's going to take hold of the dragon, that old serpent, verse number 2, which is the devil and Satan. It's going to bound him for 1,000 years. Now, that term there, 1,000 years, is mentioned six times, in the next seven verses. Verse number two, it says 1,000 years. That's the way the verse ends. Toward the end of verse number 3, it says, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Look at the end of verse number 4. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Look at verse 5. And the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years. Look at the end of verse number 6. And shall reign with him 1,000 years. Look at verse 7, the first part. And when 1,000 years are expired. See, God wants you to know something about these 1,000 years. Hey, right? That's right. You know why? Because there's some things that are very significant that's going to take place here. There's some promises that have not yet been fulfilled that God is going to fulfill by way of covenant with Israel, by way of dispensational truth, that God is going to fulfill in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. God has a purpose for everything he does. And so the 1,000 years is not spiritualized. The church is not Israel. Listen to me. Listen to me. Israel's not the church. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We talked about that in chapter 19 at the marriage supper, right? The marriage of the Lamb, that's the bride of Christ. Israel's the wife of Jehovah. And so when we look at this 1,000 years, God is bringing some things that he promised to his son. And as a matter of fact, when Jesus, when those disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. It's this kingdom that Jesus, now listen to me carefully. It's this kingdom. It's this kingdom that Jesus said we're to pray for. We're to pray for this kingdom to come. Thy kingdom come. What did he say right after that? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Come where? To earth. I want your will to be done in your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And so as Christians, we need to be praying for this kingdom to come. Amen. Why? Because we're going to be great benefactors in this kingdom. I will not go into it tonight, but in Luke 19, you can begin reading in verse 15, there's a parable that Jesus gives, and he talks about giving out 10 pounds. And then he said they chased him away, the king, but when the king returned, he called his servants that he gave these talents to, he called them to give account. And he said, basically what this parable is teaching is what you do with what Jesus has given you while he's away is going to determine how you live in this kingdom. Right. Are you listening? Amen. Say, it doesn't matter how I live. Yes, it does too. Amen. It does. It's going to matter. Some are going to rule over cities. 10 cities. So I'm not going to do anything. I'll just sit around and go to worship. No, you're going to have great responsibility. You're going to have great influence in the kingdom if you'll be faithful to God in this life. They that suffer with him, 2 Timothy 2:12 says, shall reign with him. That's the word of God, brethren. The word of God teaches this. Now you say, who are we going to rule? If everybody there is righteous, who are we going to rule? It's a good question. So let's think about this for a moment. We're in chapter 20. We see that Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. Everyone that's in the kingdom is going to be righteous. But now there's two groups of righteous people I want you to think about. Some righteous people that will be there will have glorified bodies. Now stick with me, okay? Just stay with me. I hope that I can make this as simple as God does. Sometimes I have a way of complicating the simple. I don't want to do that. There will be people in glorified bodies. If you go through the rapture, or if you die before the kingdom comes, now listen to me, you will be resurrected. And the Bible speaks of that. If you'll notice in chapter 20, are you there? Look at verse number 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now this goes back to that resurrection. So you have Christ, the first fruits. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. And then we have the church. The dead in Christ at the rapture shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Okay, so we're going to have glorified bodies, and yet we're going to be on this earth in this kingdom. Everybody follow me? That's glorified bodies. Now, what about people that reject the mark? What about the goat nations in Matthew 25? They're going to go into the kingdom in a natural body. The scripture pretty much bears this out, as we shall see when we look at a couple of scripture, and that's all our time will give us tonight, in natural bodies. So there's going to be folks in glorified bodies dwelling on this earth, which I believe will be you and I. I believe that even if Jesus were to come, we're still going to receive a glorified body. We're saved. But then there's going to be those that go through the tribulation period that will not receive the mark, that will believe God about his son and about his people, and will stand by Israel, Matthew 25, and they will go into the millennial reign. Now, they're going to be those people that stuck with Israel, friends of Israel's, that believed in God, and they're going to go into the millennial reign. All right? So you have people with natural bodies, and you have people with glorified bodies. The people in natural bodies, I believe, is going to bring forth, they're going to bring forth children. I base that, turn if you would to the book of Isaiah. Would you turn there just for a moment? Isaiah. We'll start in chapter 65, Isaiah chapter 65. Now, there's a lot of scripture, and I just don't have time tonight, because I just wanted to kind of give you a little bit of an overview. So we've established that Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign. Psalm 2, you can write it down. The scripture says he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron in Psalm 2. The scripture also says that we're going to rule and reign with him, Revelation chapter 2. Amen. Revelation chapter 5. Jesus, listen, when we got saved, Revelation 1 says that he's made us kings and priests. Revelation 5 says he's made us kings and priests. He is setting us up to rule. Don't foil it. Okay? Don't let the devil rob you of everything that God has for you. I don't want him to rob me of anything God has for me. I said it Sunday morning, I'm going to say it again. He's taken enough. Take your stand, serve God, finish your course, finish strong. Amen. Hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That should be the desire of every Christian. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Enter into his kingdom with joy. And in Isaiah 65, look if you would, in Isaiah 65 in verse number 17. Isaiah 65, 17 says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, for the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." What does all that mean? Well, I think it means that children that are going to have an opportunity, number one, I think there's going to be longer life, and that children will have an opportunity to receive the Lord. There's going to be children born. Some people believe, I can't prove this from the scripture, don't even know where I stand on this. I read so much on this. Some people believe that all the aborted babies or the miscarried babies, and I heard Brother Hernandez speaking of it, all of those that have, it might have been from a mental disability or a physical, they passed before they came to that place of accountability, they will have that opportunity in the millennial kingdom. I don't know that that's going to happen. I know this. Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I know God has made everyone a free moral agent. Amen? So now you say, "Well, I just believe people's going to go to heaven whether they receive Jesus or not." I don't believe that at all. I believe Jesus is telling the truth. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so I believe that in the millennial kingdom, there'll be people receiving Christ as their Savior. I also believe there'll be people rejecting him. Now, as a matter of fact, I'm not going to ask you to turn there. We'll look at it another time. There's going to be so many people that will reject him. The Bible says it is as of the number of the sand of the sea. And when Satan is loosed after those 1,000 years, he's going to go to the four corners of the earth and gather a number as of the sand of the sea. And he's going to rally these people together to come down as they encompass and encircle the city of Jerusalem to do harm to the cause of Christ and the people of God, and God's going to send fire from heaven to destroy them. That's what the Bible says, brethren. That's going to happen. And it just goes to show that these people did not, listen, they could not have had a glorified body. They have to have a natural body that was of an Adamic nature. And though Satan was loosed, bound for 1,000 years, when he's loosed, they're going to be tempted and they're going to yield, and it's going to show that really their allegiance was not with Christ at all. And they're going to be led astray and they're going to join the forces of Satan. You say, well, how could that happen? Look around you. It's happening every day. And so here the scripture says that time is going to be different. Let me give you another scripture. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter number 60. Isaiah chapter number 60. And look at verse number 19. These are interesting scriptures concerning the millennial kingdom. I'll give you a couple of more and then we'll finish up. And I hope you'll go home and read some on the millennial kingdom. I'll give you some good authors to read by. Dwight Pentecost has a good book on the kingdom of God. Martin Lloyd-Jones has a good book on the kingdom of heaven. All right? It's good reading. Harry Ironside's work on the millennial kingdom is very good. Help me out here. Matthew Henry has some good work on the millennial reign. In chapter number 60 of Isaiah, look if you would in verse number 19. This is in the millennial reign. I want you to notice what is said here. Very interesting to me. It says, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become 1,000, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. God said that there's going to be some climate change going on, like the Weather Channel knows little to nothing about in the millennial reign. And he said that there's going to be a change in the animal kingdom. There's going to be change in the climate. There's going to be change in the way that the human lifespan is. There's just going to be change. I want you to look in chapter number 30 of Isaiah. We'll look at a couple of more. Just read some scripture to you. And I hope you'll go home, as I said, and look at these and look through them. Look at chapter number 30. Isaiah 30, verse number 26. It says pretty much the same thing in a different way. Isaiah 30, verse 26. It says, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. Isn't that something? It doesn't sound like there'll be any night. That's what I'm saying. The scripture lends itself that there will be no night in the millennial kingdom, because the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be, watch this, sevenfold. It's going to be so much brighter. It's just going to be a different climate in the millennial kingdom. And I believe it's going to go back into like it was the days, as I said, before the flood, when the life of man will be much longer. And there's other scriptures that lend to that. Let's look at Isaiah chapter number 11. Turn there if you would. We'll look at two more and then we'll close tonight. Isaiah 11. Go to Isaiah chapter 2. This was some things that Sister Tammy was referring to earlier. We may go back to Isaiah 11 in just a moment. Look in chapter number 2 of Isaiah. I'm not going to read the whole passage that I had written down here, but let's look at Isaiah 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. Well, won't that be something? Amen. And we will walk in his paths, and out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Go back now to chapter 11, Isaiah 11. Look at verse 6, Isaiah 11, verse 6. Again, this is in the millennial reign. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf with the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the winged child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Now listen, this just lets me know there's going to be children. They're going to be children in the millennial reign. Now you say, where are these children going to come from? I've told you, I can't prove it, but I believe they're going to be born from those who have natural bodies. They'll be born, and they also may come from those that did not live out their life here upon this earth. They live out their life with an opportunity to make a choice to trust Christ as their Savior. The last thing I want to show before we close tonight, verse number 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The millennial kingdom, brethren, it's real. It's 1,000 years upon this earth. And it sounds like something that you can't wrap your mind around, because it is. It's supernatural. But I'm telling you that I'm going to be there. God's saved people. If you're saved, you're going to be there. God's chosen people, Israel. The nation will be restored. The temple will be rebuilt by that time. Temple worship will be restored. We're going to march up to Jerusalem. We're going to have church. Everybody's going to go to church. Amen. You hear me? When the millennial kingdom starts, everyone's going to attend church and worship. Read Micah chapter number 5. It's in the Word, brethren, I'm telling you. And it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great time of worship, of being able to serve our Master, of being able to lead and being able to help and connect and invest in people's lives in the millennial kingdom. And it's all that in heaven too. All that in heaven too. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And you say, well, preacher, I don't know. Is that really that exciting? It's very exciting to me. I get to serve my Lord. I get to serve him here, and I'm going to serve him there. I'm going to get to go up to Jerusalem. I don't know that I'll be stationed there. I'm going to get to go up to Jerusalem at least once a year for the Feast of Tabernacles. I have that written down. I think it's in Isaiah 65 or 66. We're going to worship once a year in Jerusalem. Just have a big old revival meeting. That's going to be something. I'm glad God has a plan, and I'm glad that I'm in that plan. What are you doing about that? So I preach, it doesn't mean a whole lot to me. I just know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. You know, people with that outlook, you don't know what you're missing. I don't think there's anybody here that way. But don't, when you talk to people, don't let them just tell you that. Well, I'm just glad I'm going to heaven. Well, I'm glad of that too, but there's so much more. If all God saved us for was to go to heaven, He'd have done took us to heaven. He took us to heaven when He saved us. God said, I have something for you. I want you to know your purpose. And I want you to carve out a place for yourself in the life to come. What kind of place are you preparing for that life? So I think everybody's going to be doing the same thing. You haven't read this book. This book teaches contrary. Everybody's kingdom's not going to be the same. Everybody's heaven's not going to be the same. And everyone's hell is not going to be the same. Just like everyone's life here is not the same. And so don't buy into that. All right? Let's bow our heads together.